Beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226 USA. The churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at the same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. And visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Of the Main Street Church of Christ. Just this few months ago, December 6th was to be a great day for us. We're going to double the amount of our radio broadcasts going out to all the world. We're going to be up to 8 radio broadcasts. It was a great day. My attitude was, what could possibly go wrong on a wonderful day like this that the Lord our God has made? Well, at 6 o'clock in the morning that morning, I had to call an ambulance for Ginger. She was unconscious. My wife had her taken to Baylor Hospital. And in spite of giving her insulin my own self and instructing them in what insulin to give her, they allowed her to go into a diabetic coma while I was here preaching the gospel that morning. I showed up here at 11 o'clock to preach the message, to bring the lesson, and was informed that rats had chewed in two all the microphones and the speakers and had run amok downstairs in our supply room and destroyed about $2,000 worth of supplies. Well, the preaching didn't have any problem at all because I learned a long time ago, being a professional, that you preach to the back row, you don't preach to the microphone. So y'all didn't have any problem at all hearing me. And it just so happens that the lapel mic that I have here broadcasts to the receiver back there. So we got a CD of the program. So that's what the devil was after. He was trying to destroy what we were doing. And so you remember I told you then, I said, I'm not going to rest until we're on the radio 24 hours a day. Well, we got some phone calls. The home church approached me and said we'd like to double up in what we're doing. A lady approached me and said that I'd like to help pay for a radio broadcast of the world. I got some other people approached me, and people just started coming from nowhere. So now I'm happy to report to you that we are now on the radio on Sunday for 25 hours. And tomorrow, I'm going to rest. I'm going to take a sleeping pill tonight. I'm going to sleep all night. Whenever I wake up, I'm going to take another sleeping pill tomorrow, and I'm going to sleep all day tomorrow. And then whenever I wake up tomorrow night, I'm going to take another sleeping pill and sleep all day till Tuesday. Because this working around here and going and seeing my wife in a nursing home has about wore me out. She's paralyzed, as you know, from the waist down. She'll be in a nursing home the rest of her life unless some sort of miracle happens. She's got to gain strength enough to be able to save herself in order to come home. And there's a lot of things, a lot of problems that we have there. Hebrews 11:1. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. So you ought to know about this church right here, right now, by the fruits that we bear. We get $1,500 to $2,000 on the first Sunday of the month, and we get less than $1,000 a week. We get around $1,000 a week the other three Sundays of the month. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Where there is real Bible faith, faith in action, there will be substance to it. You'll see something. There'll be proof to it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, there'll be evidence of it. You'll be able to see it with your own eyes. It won't be smoke and mirrors. It won't be cool whip. You'll be able to see it with your own eyes. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence or the proving of things not seen. We want to be on the radio all the time. What does God want? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Jesus said. John says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, if we ask anything according to his will, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Dear Lord, give us more radio time that we can broadcast the gospel to the whole wide world. We beseech you in Jesus' name. Amen. I drive a 1995 Buick. I'll continue to drive a 1995 Buick. I won't build a mansion for myself here on this earth. We'll spend every penny on preaching the gospel to the entire world. Our first broadcast, WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio Europe, goes out, covers all of North America, all of South America, all of Europe, all of Africa. It gets India, Russia, all of those places. India has 1.2 million people right here in India. That's where Paul goes. Here's where all of the Muslims are running amok, through here. All of that area. All of Africa gets in this broadcast. All of Scandinavia and all of Europe. This is Europe. We cover most the entire world with that broadcast at 8 o'clock, 8 a.m. on Sunday morning, and it gets to Paris at 4 p.m. Our WWCR, our second broadcast, WWCR2, goes over. They shoot it out of Nashville, Tennessee. It goes over the North Pole and comes down and comes through Russia, through China, India, the Philippines, Indonesia, Malaysia, Australia, New Zealand. It covers the entire Pacific. There are billions and billions of people in this broadcast area. 1.2 billion here in India, 1.4 billion in China, 300 million in Russia. All of Europe, most of Eastern Europe, is covered in this broadcast here also. Our third broadcast is out of WRMI, and it covers Europe, Africa. It gets all of the Middle East, half of Russia, and gets India also. Again, billions of people, not millions of people, billions of people. Our fourth broadcast covers all of North America, coming out of WRMI. It gets Canada. I told you I had a guy call me. He was so far back in the sticks, he had chickens in his living room. Literally, you could hear the rooster crow when he was talking to me. Our fifth broadcast is WRMI, going out of here to South America. And you might think, well, who in the world would be listening to that Texas-speaking boy from East Texas that's on the radio in South America? Well, just look in your bulletin. Brazil is number one in our foreign countries coming to our website. We don't advertise in Brazil. How in the world could 3,000 people in Brazil hear about the Main Street Church of Christ? Well, they had to heard about it by the shortwave radio. There's no other way. Our sixth broadcast is WRMI. It goes again out of Miami. They shoot this broadcast out of Miami over the North Pole, and it comes down through Russia, through Mongolia, through China, gets all of India again, all of the Pacific. Again, we're talking about billions and billions of people, over half of the world's population. Over three-quarters of the world's population is in this China and Asia Pacific broadcast. That's where most of the people live. Broadcast 7 is WRMI China. It is a free broadcast. It's on at 9 o'clock at night. We broadcast through, it goes over the top of the North Pole again and comes down. Excuse me, it's on at 6. Is that right? We'll have that all worked out next week. Anyway, it comes down. And again, it gets all of the Pacific. We buy one broadcast, we get another one free out of China. Broadcast 8, 9, and 10 is Radio Africa, covering the three superstations that cover Radio Africa. Radio Africa broadcasts all 21 English-speaking countries in Africa, where English is our prime language. We broadcast into all of Africa, every bit of Africa. And remember 21 because it has another number that's important. Only 21% of the people in Africa can read. So if you gave somebody a Bible in Africa, 21% of them could read it, and the other 79% couldn't read it. Their only hope of salvation is having Paul Lockman go preach to them or have them hear us on the radio. Their only hope is to hear the spoken word of God. They can't read it their own selves. Broadcast 11 is WRMI, again out of Miami, and it broadcasts to Europe, again getting Russia, India, all of the Middle East, all of Africa. Again, Billions of people, not millions of people, billions of people are now covered again. I know these are redundant, but half of them are in the morning and half of them are in the afternoon. Broadcast 12 goes out of WRMI, and it's North America, and it covers the United States and all of Canada and Alaska and Greenland and all of the North America up here. That's at 4 p.m. in the afternoon. Broadcast 13 goes out of WRMI out of South, again, gets South America at 4 p.m. The other broadcast to South America was in the morning. It was a new one. This is a regular one that we've had. Goes out at 4 p.m. Broadcast 14 is again China that goes out of Miami over the North Pole and into China. And this is the one, I think, that's at 9 o'clock at night. I'll have to get that on there next week. One of them is at 4 o'clock Beijing time. One of them is at 9 o'clock Beijing time. Broadcast 16, 17, and 18 is again Radio Africa. Is an afternoon broadcast, again going to all 21 English-speaking countries in Africa. So we now broadcast in Radio Africa, those 300,000-watt superstations twice. Radio 19, I thought we were through, and so I put 18 in your bulletin, and a guy called me late Thursday night and said, I want to give $300 a month. Can you use $300 a month? What will $75 a week buy? And I said, well, $75 a week will buy most of the world. And he said, go buy. And so I called Worldwide Christian Radio on Friday morning, and he gave us a contract to where we broadcast. Broadcast 19 covers all of North and South America, all of Africa, all of Europe, all of India, and half of Russia, and about half of China. So we've got those 19 international broadcasts that every one of them cover billions of people, not millions of people, but billions of people. And we have the broadcasts that are local here in the United States. We broadcast to all of North Texas. We broadcast to Abilene. We broadcast to Oklahoma, all of the state of Oklahoma. We broadcast to Nashville twice. And we broadcast to North Texas twice. We broadcast at 11 o'clock and at 5 o'clock. And we broadcast in Nashville at 11:30 and at 5:30. So that's given us 25 hours. Are y'all satisfied? No. No, I'm not satisfied. God's not satisfied. God wants more. God wants more. God wants everybody to hear. God wants on every hour of every day. God wants the gospel to go out. God wants people to hear the gospel and be saved. So let's thank Him. Father, we thank You for what You've done. We pray that You now work even more and more and more and mightily, that You allow us to go forward and preach the gospel even to more people, more times, to all the world. You own the cattle on 1,000 hills, so send us some ranchers. You own the oil and all the oil wells, so send us some millionaire, somebody that'll help support and pay for these ministries. Father, we're thankful that we have a church here that works the way that we do, that You made it work the way that it does. Thank You, and we give You the credit and the praise and the glory and the honor for every bit of this. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Only God could do this kind of stuff. We have been studying the death of Christ. And behind the death of Christ, there was an informant. There was one who claimed to be a Christian, was right here among us, right here among Christ and His disciples, but yet he really wasn't. He really wasn't. And people like that had become known as Judases. And so Jesus, during this study that we've had about Passion Week, about the last week in the life of Christ, Jesus foretold the destruction of Jerusalem, remember? All right. The prophet Zechariah is writing back here in the Old Testament about 400 B.C. Jerusalem has been destroyed by Babylon in 586 B.C. They have gone into captivity into Babylon for 70 years. In 536 B.C., they came back in the first return. The first captivity was in 606. The first return was in 536. The second captivity, when the city was destroyed, was in 586. The second return is in 516. They dedicate the temple in 516. 70 years exactly is when the temple is dedicated from the time that it was destroyed. Now, about 100 years later, Zechariah is writing. The temple has been rebuilt. That temple is the same temple that Herod the Great even enlarged and beautified and made into that great temple that Jesus went into in Jerusalem. The doors of the temple were made of cedar and covered in gold. The inside was like the ceiling here, made of cedar, only it was covered in gold. All of the inside, the stones of the walls were covered in cedar and then covered in gold. And there were tapestries hanging throughout. And this was a beautiful, beautiful temple. And so the temple that Zechariah is writing about has to be the temple that Jesus came to, because the other temples have been destroyed and now been rebuilt. And now it's Zechariah's turn. And so, figuratively speaking, in Zechariah 11:1, open thy doors, O Lebanon. Now see, the cedar of Lebanon had been used to build a temple. Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that fire may devour thy cedar. Remember, Jesus said, there shall not be one stone left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. God prophesied that the temple was going to be destroyed. That temple that was rebuilt was going to be destroyed. He prophesied it 400 years before it happened right here, besides Jesus prophesying it. Verse 2, how fir trees for the cedar is fallen. For the mighty are spoiled. Oh, ye oaks of Bashan. Bashan are fat cats, big shots. The leaders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the hypocrites, the doctors of the law. For the forest of the vintage is come down. These people who represented the leadership of Israel is going to be thrown down. There is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, the people who run the country in Israel by the time that Jesus comes. And then God sends the Roman army to punish them for what they did to the Christ. They won't accept the good shepherd. They accept the false shepherds. For the howling of the shepherds for their glorious spoil. A voice of the roaring of young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoiled. All these Romans are going to be like young lions. Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of slaughter. Jesus came and did that. The flock of slaughter is all the Jews who were alive in Israel. Jesus came and fed them the word of God. Jesus came and presented himself as the Messiah. He did miracles as no other man had ever done miracles. He presented himself as the Messiah, the Son of God, and he fed the flock of slaughter, the flock that refused and rejected his message. Of course, a remnant accepted it. A remnant was saved. But the vast majority refused his message. And they have clung to their false teachers, to their false shepherds, to their false prophets, to their false leaders, false pastors, to all the scribes, the Pharisees, the Herodians, the doctors of the law. They clung to them. And so Jesus came and fed the flock of slaughter, whose possessors say, and the possessors are the scribes, the Pharisees, the Herodians, whose professors slay them and hold themselves not guilty. The people who ran Israel just used the people. They just used the people. They slayed them just like you slay a lamb and to eat it, and they hold themselves not guilty. And they that sell them say, blessed be the Lord, for I am rich, and their own shepherds pity them not. All those people, those fat cats in Israel, they didn't care anything at all about the people and the poor people and the lame and the blind and the halt. They didn't care anything about those people. You go read John chapter 9 about the blind man that was healed and how the Sanhedrin court treated that poor man that Jesus healed who was born blind, and how they treated his mother and his father in investigating them and then putting them out of the synagogue, throwing them out of the church because Jesus healed a man born blind. You think these people, wolves and sheep's clothing, aren't worthy of death? And they pitied them not. For I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land. See, there comes a time when God is not going to pity the inhabitants of the land. I'm telling you right now, and I want you to listen to me, the people are responsible for the leadership that we have. You understand? We are going to be held accountable for the leadership that we have. Israel was held accountable for the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites. Oh, but Lord, they were big shots, and they had all the army, and they had all the guns, and we couldn't do nothing. God thinks that they could have done something. God thinks that they could have sat down and said, we're not going to work for you anymore. We're not going to pay taxes to you anymore. We're not going to bust a grape for you anymore. We'll outlast you. God says that they could have done something. God says that there's a time that he will not hold the people innocent who have bad leadership in government. For I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land. But the inhabitants of the land were basically fairly good people. It was the leadership that was bad, Lord. For I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. But lo, I will deliver the men, every one, into his neighbor's hands and to the hands of his king. When the Jews overthrew in 66 A.D., when revolutionaries talked the Jews into overthrowing the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites, when they talked them into doing it, the Jews killed each other by droves. Different political parties, the Essenes and all the different ones, they had civil war in Israel from 66 to 70. They killed one another. They fought in Jerusalem each other while they were fighting the Roman army outside the city, and into the hands of his king, and they shall smite the land out of their hand, and I will not deliver them. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Free downloadable a cappella singing. There's 1,000 sermons on there, 1,000 written lessons, 1,000 links. You can get a college lesson on that website. These doors of the temple in Jerusalem were 45 feet tall. Enormous doors, 45 feet tall. Josephus, the Jewish historian, tells us that the night that Christ died and was buried, that those doors miraculously opened on Passover in 30 AD. And what does Matthew tell us happened then? It says that the veil of the temple was rent in two, tore in two from the top to the bottom. Those people who were the scribes, the Pharisees, the hypocrites, the Herodians, the doctors of the law, they knew all that. They knew God had come and visited his own house and tore the veil of the temple in two, showing that we as Christians now have direct access to God. We no longer need that priestcraft. We no longer need those people. You don't have to come down here and get prayer. You yourself can pray. You don't have to go to some man in a white collar and confess your sins to him. You can confess your sins to God. Zechariah 7, verse 10. How do we know that we're talking about this right time? We're going to be seeing real shortly. And I will feed the flock of slaughter. Jesus was the good shepherd, but they preferred the other shepherds, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites. And I, Jesus, will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. Who did Jesus come to? Well, he came to the poor. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He came to the poor over and over and over and over again. The New Testament uses that word poor in dealing with Jesus' ministry. And I took unto me two staffs, the one called beauty and the other called bands, and I fed the flock. Now, shepherds took a staff, and a shepherd's staff, as you well know, had a crook at the top. It was much like a question mark, and it was a long staff. And so the Bible says that this Messiah, when he comes, he's going to take himself two staffs. Well, Psalms 23 says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod for disciplining. Christ, if you're a Christian, is going to discipline you every time you foul up. Every time you foul up, he's going to spank you. Thy rod and thy staff. And what's the staff for? The staff is for saving you. If the sheep fell in the stream into the rushing river, you could reach out with this crook and you could grab that sheep around his neck and pull him to shore. And if he got up in the bushes and in the briars, you could reach in there with that stick and get his feet and drag him out of there. God had two staffs for this new Christ. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And those staffs, he describes, one is beauty and the other is bane. And I fed the flock. Three shepherds also shall I cut off in 1 month. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, and Herodians. They were three political parties. In all of those political parties, there were doctors of the law, and they were scribes that were Pharisees. There were scribes that were Sadducees. There were scribes that were Herodians. So in 1 month, God says, I'm going to cut off three shepherds that are shepherding Israel. In 66 A.D., the same high priest that beat up the Apostle Paul, guess what they did? They ran and hid in the sewers to escape the mob. These ceremonially clean, ritualistically proper doctors of the law went crawling through the sewers trying to save their own lives when the mob was going to tear them apart. God has a way of bringing your sins back and having them slow walk you down, doesn't he? Three shepherds also will I cut off in 1 month. My soul loathed them, and their soul also abhorred me. Then said I will not feed you. That dieth, let him die. And he that be cut off, let him be cut off. When Jerusalem was destroyed, they even ate their own babies at the end. Josephus tells us about a woman that says, we'll eat my baby today and eat yours tomorrow. That's pretty hungry. And let the rest eat every one the flesh of another. These people are going to be hammered so bad by God, they're going to turn to cannibalism. They're going to be so hungry from the Romans besieging that town. And I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder, that I might break my covenant. God said, I'm going to break your staff, that I might break my covenant. What covenant? Well, there's many covenants talked about in the Bible. But this is a specific covenant here. This is a specific covenant. What covenant does it say it was? Which I made with all the people. What covenant did God make with all the people? Well, at Mount Sinai, when he gave the law of Moses, he made the covenant and he spoke to the entire nation. And they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do. And they didn't do it. Now, beauty is a covenant, and God had to die to break that covenant. If you look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, it says, blotting out the handwriting ordinances that was against us and contrary to us, and took it out of the way, having nailed it to his cross. So in order for Christ to break the covenant of the Old Testament law of Moses, the deal, when God makes a deal with you, he'll die before he breaks the deal. Verse 31. Behold, a day comes, saith the Lord, that I'll make a new covenant. There's going to be a brand new covenant. It's not going to be like the law of Moses. I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Now we know what covenant he's talking about, that law of Moses, when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. Which my covenant they break. They said they wasn't going to break it. They said all the Lord has said we'll do. Although I was a husbandman unto them. God was like a husband to them, and they were like a wife, and he took care of them like a husband, and it didn't do them a bit of good. Verse 33, and this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord, that I'll put my laws in their inward parts, and I'll write them in their hearts, not on tablets of stone, but on your heart. In the Bible, you'll read the Bible, and the Bible will touch your heart, and it'll change you. And God will put his laws in your heart, and you'll know right from wrong in your heart. And you'll start doing better unless you're a phony or a Judas. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them even to the greatest. When you were a Jew, you were born a Jew, and you didn't know the Lord, did you? You was a little bit of kid, you didn't know nothing about God. And as you grew up, you had to be taught to know the Lord. You didn't know anything about the Lord. But in this new covenant, you got to be born again. You got to know about the Lord to become part of this new covenant. You've got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You got to repent of your sins. You got to confess Christ as Lord. You have to confess before men. You have to repent. You have to believe. You have to have faith. You have to be baptized into Christ. That's how you become to know the Lord. And then everybody who knows the Lord is in that new covenant. It's just simple as mud, isn't it? No, it isn't. It's simple and it's clear as water. Anybody ought to be able to see it but a false teacher, a liar, a hypocrite, or a modernist that doesn't believe anyway. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sins will I remember no more. Oh, how wonderful. Is that good news? Huh? Man, he can't even remember my sins. He can't remember what I did last week because I asked him to forgive me. He can't remember what I did last year, what I did last 50 years. He can't remember any of my sins because I've asked for forgiveness. Zechariah 11:11, and it, that covenant, that Old Testament covenant, was broken in that day. And so the poor of the flock that waited upon me knew that it was the word of the Lord. All of the people, when he rose, the poor of the flock, the ones who believed that became Christians, they knew, hey, this is the word of the Lord. He said he would die on the cross. He said he would raise. This is the word of the Lord. And they believed. And the poor of the flock that waited upon me. Notice that sometimes you got to wait upon the Lord. Again, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there, 1,000 written lessons, DVDs, all kinds of things that you can see and learn about. Mark 14, verse 1, and after 2 days of feast of the Passover, unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. John 11:47. Then gathered together the chief priests and the Pharisees and the council, and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles, and if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and our nation. It wasn't their place, and it wasn't their nation. It was God's temple, and it was God's nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, being high priest that same year, said to them, you know nothing at all, but you consider that it's expedient for us that one man should die for the whole people and the nation perish not. We had found Caiaphas' bone box, his sarcophagus, where he was buried, and guess what? He was coined in the mouth. He really didn't even believe in the God that we worship. He didn't believe in the God of heaven. He believed in Greek mythology, where you had to have a coin in your mouth to pay the boat driver to take you across the river Styx, your soul across the river Styx. That's Caiaphas' coffin right there. Big, fancy coffin. And we know it's his because on the end of it is carved Joses Bar Khufu. And Josephus tells us that his full name was Joses Bar Khufu in Hebrew, Caiaphas. Zechariah 11:12, and I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, not forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 32, the price of a slave was priced up at 30 pieces of silver. If an ox gored the slave to death, the owner of the slave would receive 30 pieces of silver. Now, the price of a free man was worth 60 pieces of silver. When Judas, the snitch, went to the high priest, they bargained for him, and they priced Jesus at the price of a slave. They didn't price him even at the price of a free man. They priced him at the price of a slave, and they haggled with him about the price we're going to see. And they'd only give Judas the price of a slave, and Judas took the price of a slave, and guess what? They forgot to read the rest of that verse because it says that the ox will then be stoned to death. The people who kill the slave will die for what they did to Christ. Both Judas, the high priest, all of them that was involved, they'll all die for what they did to Christ. Die eternally. Matthew 26:14, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went unto the high priest, chief priest, and said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And covenant means haggled. They haggled in the Greek. From that time on, they saw the opportunity to betray him. Verse 13, and the Lord said unto me, cast it to me, Judas. Cast it to the potter of goodly price, that I, God, that I... Who's writing the Bible? Zechariah's writing it. Who's dictating in Zechariah's ear? God, that I, God, was priced of at them. Who was Jesus? Jesus was God. And the Lord said unto me, Judas, cast it, the 30 pieces of silver, to the potter, a goodly price, that I, God, was priced of at them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter. Notice where it happens in the house of the Lord. Matthew chapter 27 in the New Testament, beginning verse 10. Then when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders took counsel together against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. It doesn't mean repent like we tell you to repent. This word means he just changed his mind. He wasn't sorry. He just changed his mind. And he come carrying the blood money back. He just changed his mind and said, no, 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 I don't think I want the blood money after all. I'm going to change my mind. So all he did, he changed his mind. And when he saw Jesus was condemned, he repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. Now, he had to go to the place of Corban because that's the only place that somebody who wasn't a priest could see the priest at the temple. So he goes to the place of Corban, which is the place of free will offering where anybody can go and meet the priest there. So he goes to the temple. He takes the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. He had to do this in the house of the Lord. This is where it was done. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver where? In the temple, in the house of the Lord, and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the pieces of silver. What is 30 pieces of silver to these rich fat cats that own all the silver of the treasury? But they're not going to let one nickel get out of their hand. They took the 30 pieces of silver and said it's not lawful for them to put it into the treasury because of the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Now, one of them's cousin or brother-in-law probably owned this old piece of property over in the Kidron Valley, which used to be a potter's field. We know exactly where this place is. A potter's field is a place that's like an old gravel pit, and they've gone into it, and they've dug all of the clay out, and they've taken the clay out, and up here probably was a tree hanging off the side. And so all the clay is down there, and there's nothing left but jagged rocks down in the bottom. Like gravel pits here fill up with water. Over there, there isn't any water, and so there's just a bunch of jagged rocks down in the bottom of this hole in the ground. And so they said, well, let's buy that potter's field from my cousin or my brother-in-law. He's got a potter's field over there. He'll take 30 pieces of silver for it to bury strangers in. They're going to do a good deed in doing it. And wherefore the field is called us the field of blood unto this day. When was fulfilled, which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price it was that I was valued of them, of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field as a ward is appointed me. So he quotes there Zechariah 11 that I just read you, the prophecy of what would happen. Now, as Paul Harvey said, here's the rest of the story. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number and the names together were about 120. Men and brethren, the scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake for concerning Judas, which is a guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained a part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, but he didn't. He threw the money down in the temple. The priest gathered it up. It gave him to the potter. But see, Judas couldn't divest himself of the blood money. That was Judas's money. And when the money was spent to buy the field, it became Judas's field. And guess where fate took Judas? It took Judas to that very same field to hang himself. That's where Judas went to hang himself, to that very same field. But the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which is a guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained a part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with a reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. Now, we don't know how that happened. He probably hanged there because nobody could touch a dead body because you'd be ceremonially unclean for a week. Nobody could touch a dead body. So he probably just hung there until his old head pulled off and he rotted and he fell down there and he busted like a watermelon on them rocks down in that field. Or maybe he went to hang himself and God broke the rope and he fell down there and busted. You know, we don't know how God got him, but we know God got him. We know that. And it was known to all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that the field in their proper tongue is called in their proper tongue a Seldom, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man therein, and his live therein, dwell therein, and his bishopric or his office let another take. Are you a Judas? Well, you can repent of your sin. You want to become a Christian? Now's your opportunity. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You've heard some proof of it today. There's much more, but you've heard some proof of it today. We'd encourage you to put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you. Repent of your sins. Believe the gospel. Believe the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. March right down here at the front and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be sorry for your sins. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ as Lord and be baptized into Christ. If you have sin in your life, you need the help of the church or the prayers of the church, won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who He says He is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by Him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, He can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
For our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper.
Yeah.
As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.